Salutations, Mets fans, and welcome to... fuck it. This is your, for all you kids out there, NL Wild Card Recap. I'm your host, Jeffrey Paternostro. With me, slowly making his way out of the Citi Field parking lot, is Jarrett Seidler. Jarrett, that kind of sucked.
Okay, so Bumgarner pitches a complete game shutout. You took your cap.
Sure, yeah.
What can you do?
Yeah, they got one guy to second base. I think it was TJ Rivera doubled.
No, they got the they got somebody to second base in the eighth. They got Ty Kelly to second in the eighth, and Cabrera hit what should have been a run scoring single up the middle. Okay. Except Bumgarner pulled down
two guys
the middle
to
the
second
air.
Base. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because
That's what he does.
Look, it's whatever. They probably should have double switched in Addison Reed. They probably shouldn't have had Campbell and Ty Kelly as the first two guys off the bench, but this happens. This is what happens.
Ty Kelly hit a single for you. You know, you went one for two with those guys off the bench. It's not like that's what cost you the game. They had no right-handed power. Bumgarner was a nightmare matchup for them.
As we've been talking about since roughly July.
The right-handed power is Cespedes. Bumgarner pumps high fastballs and high cutters. Do you know what Cespedes can't hit?
He's also seriously compromised right now, which no one is going to acknowledge that he's been hurt for the last two playoffs, such as they've been, but.
Sure. And, you know, if people were booing Familia, I was really not terribly happy with that, but I understand the frustration.
Yeah, sure. I don't get super shitty about that. You know, he didn't execute. It happens. What are you going to do?
You know,
it's Connor Gillespie hit a three-run home run. When I saw that lineup, I'm like, fuck, it's going to be Connor Gillespie, isn't it? And it was Connor Gillespie.
Connor Gillespie's got a little pop. Too.
Yeah,
it's
sure.
It's not like Connor Gillespie's he's a left-handed utility guy with pop. He's kind of like a Kelly Johnson kind of guy.
It's just one of those, like, you know, Familia's only given up one home run all year to Will Myers at some point in August.
And we've been talking all year that Familia just hasn't looked right.
Yeah.
The command has not been there, and the fastball's been a tick or two down, and the splitter disappeared. And the fastball was a tick or two down, the command wasn't there, and you didn't have the splitter to pitch the left-handed batters. Connor Gillespie hit one really far. It happened.
I had the radio feed on, and it was like, as soon as it came off the bat, you could just hear it in Howie's voice. It was going out.
Oh, yeah, no, it was no doubt off of the bat. Bruce only gave it like a light jog. It happens, you know. You got the game to Familia in the ninth inning. They were going to Cueto after that.
Yeah.
Like, clearly. Like, if Bumgarner was coming out of that game, A, it was going to be like the 10th or 11th inning, and B, it was going to Cueto. I don't care. I don't care if they had Sergio Romo and Will Smith up. Like, you know, those were decoys. That was never happening. I saw people on Twitter were comparing this to the Jack Morris, John Smoltz game in the World Series in 91 in terms of pitching quality. I mean, Noah Syndergaard pitched his best game of his life.
Oh, yeah, he was full super shove mode.
Yes, he carried no hitter into the sixth inning. I think he struck out 11 dudes.
10 dudes,
correct?
And just like...
10 dudes.
It was like all fastball slider for the first five, and then just started throwing like 80 changeups.
Yeah, I mean, this was absolutely everything he could have given you. Has anybody been complaining that they pulled him? I really hope not.
I don't think
so. He was
so.
Out of gas.
Sure.
He was totally out of gas. They probably should have used Blevins in the seventh. There's nothing you can do. I tweeted this. The Mets were dead in the water 6 weeks ago. They took Bumgarner to his absolute maximum limits, and they lost. It happened. You know, I was at the game. It was a really cool game to be at. It sucks that they lost. It sucks that they're not going to be back on Monday.
I could have gone to a Violent Femmes concert, so.
What, tonight?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I could have. I like the Violent Femmes. You know, the way it goes.
Okay. I don't
no,
have
I know.
a
It's,
lot
it's,
of.
so it's, I guess, I mean, we'll do a proper, I guess we'll probably take this weekend off. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it. We'll see. I got to go to a
Yeah,
baby
we'll
shower.
see. If,
So, but we'll do a
yeah,
proper
we'll
off-season
see. We'll
preview
see.
at some point and sort of get
We'll
into
kind of put
the,
a ball on the 2016 season a little bit. Do you consider the 2016 season a success? Because I think I do.
It's like, I don't know.
Yeah, if you want some more time to ruminate on that, that's
Yeah, it's
fair too.
with all the added playoff rounds now, it's like, is getting there really an accomplishment? Because, like, this is something that Joe Sheehan and Rainey Jazarelli used to talk about on their podcast all the time, sort of the idea that you couldn't just have a 92-win season and finish three games out of your... Like, you couldn't be the 87 Mets or the 85 Mets and call it a successful season anymore. Like, it's become so zero sum.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you have to win the World Series to have a successful season. I guess, I mean, do you hang a banner for making the wild card game?
Like, oh, I don't think they'll do that.
Wild card participant banner.
I highly doubt that. They'll sell their, you know, they'll ship out all the Train to Rain shirts at 50% off and replace them with Tebow jerseys again, and life will go on.
Yeah, it's, you know, I'm certainly happy that I went to the game. I'm not happy that they lost, but I can't be angry at that performance, you know. What bummer to end up throwing, like 123,
something like that. Yeah. He's the best playoff pitcher of this generation.
He turns into old Pops Radburn when the playoff comes around.
The post Smoltz Schilling dudes, he's the guy.
Yeah, you know, he's a future Hall of Famer, assuming he stays somewhat healthy. And he's, you know, he did the exact same thing with Pirates in 2014.
And the Royals, and then,
the Royals again, and then the Royals again, and yeah. It happens. We said that this was a very possible outcome, that Bumgarner was just going to come out and blank them.
Yeah, and
nobody else
traded their bullets, and they ran out of bullets.
And the Mets did exact,
It really felt like a game where, with me, the first guy to run into one was going to decide the game.
Yeah. You know, and it looked like, Curtis Granderson made a ridiculous catch into the wall, very similar to the Mike Baxter play in the Santana no-hitter. I would not be surprised if we find out tomorrow that, you know, he screwed up his shoulder or something. I think the postseason injury dump is going to be pretty significant.
Sure. I mean, like I said, Cespedes is already clearly compromised. Flores is going to have hamate surgery, which is bad.
Yeah. Syndergaard might need elbow surgery.
I'm sure they'll clean it out or whatever. You know, Matt's just had what was like leaked to the reporters, a giant bone spur removed from his elbow.
And at the same time, got a little shoulder cleanup.
Yeah, sure, why not? As long as you're in there, 2-for-1 special. Hospital for special surgery.
He was at the game today. I was a little surprised, because that surgery was yesterday, and that's not, like, a white surgery. You took your cap to Bumgarner, and watched the rest of the postseason, like, that. They lost on some bullshit. They lost because they ran into the greatest postseason pitcher, the greatest starting postseason pitcher of all time, but certainly the last 20 or 25 years. And the closer, you know, guy ran into one on the closer. This stuff happened. They did not lose in a Metsian, Met-esque sort of fashion. So, you got anything else?
Nah, sometimes there's just no fucking reason for this shit. I guess you want to do like a quick. Do you want to do a quick little, like, off season? Where do you think they go from here?
I mean, where do I think they go from here, or where should they go from here?
Let's start with where you think they go from here. We may need more time for where they should go from here.
I think Cespedes opts out and walks. I think they pick up the Jay Bruce option and probably go get a seventh inning guy.
eat Arby's.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to predict the Mets off season, that's been what, like 4 of the last 5 off seasons?
Yeah, more or less.
I mean, they're, you know, there's certainly the potential for like a reactionary move, like trade Familia for 50 cents on the dollar and make Reed the closer. Like, that's certainly within the realm of possibility. That's absolutely something they could do.
Especially with Familia about to get expensive in ARB.
Yes, and Reed also about to get expensive in ARB. And when you're running payrolls between, you know, what were they this year, 140? So between
135, somewhere in there, yeah.
So when you're running payrolls between, like, 110 and 140, having two, like, $10 million relievers is pretty tough on the budget.
Yeah.
So, yeah. What should they do? They should decline the Jay Bruce option or trade Jay Bruce. They should call Cespedes' agent tomorrow and offer him, you know, 2 or 3 years of his current salary, which a number of people have suggested that he would probably find amenable on top of the 2 years he has remaining. And they should also probably try to get a seventh inning guy because, you know, you can always use a seventh inning guy. Although the Mets' attempts to get a seventh inning guy in free agency has not been great. Antonio Bastardo, Frank Francisco, John Rouse. Am I forgetting anybody?
Brandon Lyon?
Brandon Lyon, yes. He wasn't that expensive, though. Yeah, this happens. This is the thing that happens.
DJ Carrasco got a 2-year deal.
Oh, yeah, DJ Carrasco. I totally forgot DJ Carrasco.
I don't know if he's supposed to be the seventh inning guy. Do you want to answer some emails before you go over the bridge?
Oh, I'm not even out of the parking lot.
I didn't think you were. So. I've tried to get out of that parking lot before.
Of course, no, I should have been in a pretty decent spot. I don't know what the hell's happened. I think they might change the traffic flow coming out of... I usually park in the lot right to the, basically on the third baseline, basically right outside the left field gate, because that has a dedicated lane that basically dumps straight onto the Lightstone. But it feels like they may have changed the traffic flow for the postseason, which they did not do last year. Anyway.
There's a couple of emails that have specified we can wait for the first off-season podcast, and I guess this technically counts, so we'll wait for the first proper off-season podcast.
Yeah, whether that's this weekend, next weekend, it'll be sometime relatively soon, because they're done!
So we have a couple Tom emails. His first, they came in within, let's see, oh, 50 minutes, within an hour of each other.
I saw the first one, I don't think I saw the second one.
Best Terry Collins move of the eighth tonight, not double switching Reed into the game. He could have gone two otherwise if he had a quicker top of the eighth, or putting up Campbell and Kelly in back-to-back spots in the highest of high leverage spots. Thanks, I'll hang up and listen, Tom.
Okay.
Neither
of those moves actually backfired because they would not have been able to bring Reed out for a second inning given how leveraged he was, how
many
pitches
he was spent
at the end of that inning. Yeah, he was not, and he emptied the tank on, I think it was Hunter Pence.
Yeah. 93 to 95, just pumping it, yeah.
Yeah.
In a perfect world, you want to get 3 to 4 innings from Reed and Familia there and then turn it over to one of your starters. Maybe use Blevins for a lefty spot if there's a high leverage lefty spot. Like,
I think you're
not
going to
use it for Connor. You're not going to use it for Connor Gillespie there with one out or two outs, or it's just not going to happen.
Sure.
And if you bring Blevins in that spot, they probably pinch it with a righty anyway.
Sure. The Mets didn't have right-handed bench options. They didn't have a right-handed first base option to start over James Loney, who was one of the worst regulars in baseball this season.
And Lagares probably really swing a bat, and Flores is hurt. And that was a clear weakness. Maybe you use Travis d'Arnaud, I guess, and hope he runs into one.
Is Travis d'Arnaud actually substantially better than Eric Campbell at this point? We literally had this discussion 2 weeks ago.
We've had it for the last 2 weeks, and we might have a postseason injury dump coming on that, too. So.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of...
Look, this was not on Terry Collins. There's a strong case to not retain Terry Collins for next year. He's clearly going to come back for next year.
I don't know if that's 100%. I think he's going to come back if he wants to come back.
Yeah,
I'm
sure.
Not convinced he's not going to retire somewhere in here.
But regardless, this game was not on Collins.
No, when Madison Bumgarner throws a 120-something pitch shutout against you in a playoff game, there's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do. Maybe if they had Wilmer Flores, he runs, you know, Bumgarner hangs a cutter. But Bumgarner's not a great matchup for Wilmer Flores either. I had heard people saying that, mostly on WFAN coming in. Like, Bumgarner was not a great matchup for the Mets' right-handed hitters either, which is... not like he's a great matchup for anybody, but there's certain, you know, he pumps high fastballs and cutters and tries to get pop outs, and the Mets don't have right-handed guys that really hit the high fastball very well. There aren't a lot of right-handed power hitters that hit the high fastball very well in general, but which is why, you know, Bumgarner's a perennial Cy Young candidate.
We have another email from Tom. Where does this rank among the worst season endings for you guys? It's not that high on my list, probably because of all the injuries and the fact that I basically wrote this year off 6 weeks ago. Last year was far worse, so were 2006, 2007, 2008, 1999, 1988, maybe 2000, and 1998 too. More than anything, I just feel bad for Familia, who is undeservedly going to get booed and hashtag unclutched by the WFAN listening set forever now. Thanks for a great season of podcasts. I'm already getting fired up for your Rule 5 preview show. I might be at the Rule 5 draft live this year. I'm very excited about that.
You thinking about going to the winter meetings?
I'm probably going to the winter meetings. I'll crash on Craig's couch or whatever.
They're what, D.C.?
Just outside of D.C.
Northern Virginia.
Yeah.
Yeah, for me, this is not... to me, this is not a bad loss. This is not...
I mean,
like
it's like shitty. It's shitty.
Yeah.
It's unpleasant.
It's shitty. It's not like the Mets have messed and great Mets over the years. This is not a great Metsing. This was a shit happened around to Bumgarner.
On some level, I'm, you know, older and more mature than I was in my 20s. So like it didn't kill
on
me the way the 2000 on some level the way the 2006 through 2008 seasons did.
Sure.
But even in more recent history, like the familiar quick pitch to Alex Gordon was a gut punch in a way that I don't think this game was.
Sure. And this to me was pretty, it wasn't an elimination game, but NLDS game 4 last year when Kershaw just came out and it was like from the first pitch they barely had a chance. You're going to run into great pitchers having great starts sometimes. If the Giants, I would guess that the Giants would have felt similarly if, you know, the Asdrubal Cabrera hit went through. They would have been like, God damn, we ran into Syndergaard. It happened. Or, I mean, are the Giants just going to win the World Series again now?
I have no idea.
Would be pretty funny if they did.
Yeah, it'd be something.
Because they're, like, clearly the worst team left in the tournament, right?
Yes, and they're starting, like, Cueto and Samardzija 1-2 against Lester Arrieta. So, I guess that's not the end of the world.
Cueto's
been quite good this year.
Cueto's been quite good this year. I think Cueto is generally underrated.
I mean, there's an argument that you look at Cueto Lester, you can clearly make a case that the Giants are the better pitcher in that matchup.
Right. I think particularly by sabermetric, I would say older sabermetric metrics. That was a shitty turn of phrase. Cueto has outpitched his FIP by a substantial amount for like forever.
Yeah.
And there's reasons for that. So I don't know that Cueto is quite as appreciated as perhaps he should be. And Sarge is a fine league average pitcher. Got a hell of a lot of money for a league average pitcher, but, you know, Mike Leake got the same money, right? So,
yeah.
So league average pitcher gets, right? League average pitcher's got $105 million now. It's one of the reasons it's so, what Bartolo Colon's done for the last 3 years for the Mets is so valuable. It's one of the reasons that being able to produce Robert Gesellman and Seth Lugo out of thin air was so valuable, because pitching is so goddamn expensive, though. Do we have any other relevant emails?
No, and that's about 20 minutes on this game, which is all I really want to spend on it.
Yeah, so we'll be back at some point relatively soon to talk about what horrible guys on the 40-man should get outrighted and won't.
I mean, several of them played in this game, but...
I guess you can make a case for keeping Ty Kelly around.
I think you can, if there wasn't as big a crunch as there was about to be.
Yeah, I, like, need to work out the numbers on the 40-man,
yes,
too, because I, like, don't know how many guys they need to get rid of to, like, protect Marcos Molina, because I think that's, like, my dividing line.
Yeah. Well, we'll go away and do the math, but we will be back at some point.
Yeah.
With another edition of For All You Kids Out There.